Okay, this hour, let's take your phone calls with Patrick Flanagan, also known as Nikola Tesla, and Sterling Allen. We'll take your calls as we talk about energy and Tesla on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Sterling Allen, Patrick Flanagan. Patrick, let's get into this before we take calls with both of you and Sterling. It seems like you were telling me as Wing got older, he started losing his recollection of his past life. Is that the case?
I'm not absolutely positive that. I just know that, Wing got on with his life and moved on and never wanted to contact Smokey again. Wing's had a pretty traumatizing life of his own in his own way, as we all have. But that would be up to Wing. I really haven't talked with Wing about Smokey and all that. I asked him, maybe 15 years ago. I said, "Do you still remember, everything about Smokey?" He said, "Yes, I remember it all." And he said, "I don't want to talk about it, you know." So he might remember everything. It's just I don't know. He just went on with his life.
Well, maybe it was a bad relationship, and he remembered some of those points too.
That's very possible. But
yeah,
have to move on.
In your particular case, are you still strongly remembering your Nikola Tesla moments, or is that going away?
No, I remember it more than ever.
You do?
Oh yeah, okay. I remember great details more than. I learned as Tesla to put obfuscation in my patents, because I got ripped off so many times that I didn't put everything in the patents, and I remember everything I did not put in the patents.
How would you get ripped off, Patrick? Would you have like a meeting with investors? And then all of a sudden, they've got your idea, and they're doing it themselves.
Well, what happens is that when let's say certain kinds of people get the idea that they think they know what you know, then you're no longer useful to them, and then they try to use what you've invented, and they burn bridges with you, and then they can't come back and talk to you about it anymore. And I have so many inventions and that's the other thing, is that, well, he's got so many inventions, it doesn't matter if we steal from him. He's got so many more ideas. And generally, the idea of a lot of business people is that the inventor really isn't important. Now that we've got the invention, we don't need him anymore.
The impression I had when I was talking to Peter a couple of days ago was that with all these inventions that he's basically got up his sleeve, that when we deserve them, we'll get them. And as we go through this transformation, this metamorphosis, then people like him and many others will be able to come out of the woodworks with all the gems that they've been holding back because society's not ready for it yet. And Patrick talks about a 1,000-year reign of peace that follows this transformation as the old guard gives way, so to speak.
Patrick, a couple of questions here, and we'll go to phone calls. One, of these inventions, without being too specific, can you tell us some of the things that they would do for mankind?
Sure. When I was in Life magazine in 1962, I predicted and said that one day water would be more expensive than gasoline. Back then, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. And what's happening is that, and it's true, what Sterling said, when mankind deserves it, they'll get it. Mankind will get it. But humankind consciousness needs to change, because You know, there's a term, iblis fair seeming, in which TV shows and movies show the bad guys as being the winners, and the guys that rip people off, they come out as the winners. And unfortunately, that's the attitude of an awful lot of people, because all they think about is money, and money, of course, is not what we're all looking for. We want everyone. There's a huge abundance in the universe, and we're all given the idea that things are scarce, and things are not scarce. And energy is free, and if we had free energy, then humankind would be able to create and meditate and develop their inner spiritual process. And right now, everyone is an energy slave. All they do is work just to make ends meet, and they don't have time to think about that. And then they watch TV. They watch all these inane movies that program them that Iblis is fair seeming.
Yeah, that's a good point. Philadelphia experiment. Any recollections as Nikola Tesla, what that was all about?
Oh, yeah. And of course, T. Townsend Brown was a good friend of mine in both the lifetimes. And Townsend Brown was an amazing being, and again, it goes back to people wanting to own this kind of technology and use it to enslave and use it for warfare. I mean,
right.
I'm so sick of the misuse of technology that it makes me completely sick inside, and many times I just wanted to leave the planet, you know, because it's just, you know, it's hard to keep a positive mental attitude with all this, but I'm doing it as best I can.
Well, did it happen though, Patrick, as some say, that you know, it was an experiment to cloak a ship, but all of a sudden they sent it into another time warp?
Absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely happened. Montauk is real.
Whoa. All right. Were sailors stuck in the ship, bodies in, bodies out, like the movie
absolutely,
showed?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Still, yeah. Townsend Brown wouldn't talk about it much to me this lifetime, but we talked about it, and he was very hurt by the whole process. I mean, the guy was destroyed.
All right, let's take some calls. That's an amazing story. Dan in Chicago, let's get us started here, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi, I had three birth memories too, so I totally believe Mr. Tesla. My question was two parts. Does he know how Coral Castle was built with manipulating electricity? And also redundancy in a car, if you put in like 10 alternators and a small gasoline engine, would that keep a car battery charged to let you drive however far you wanted to drive?
Unfortunately, no. The alternator thing would not work. Yeah, the Coral Castle thing is very interesting. I've pondered, of course, I've been through the Coral Castle. I don't have any answers about the Coral Castle.
Yeah, how about the pyramids, Patrick? How did they move those blocks of stone?
Oh, well, now that's another story. Yeah, you know, we're talking about ET technology here. The pyramids, we're talking about Atlantean extraterrestrial communications. They did levitate those stones, and they were able to levitate stones, but they also poured those stones into place, just like cement blocks.
Yeah, some have talked about the pour theory. You're right. Jerry in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Jerry.
Okay, Patrick. Got several questions. I'll throw at you real quick and just, you know, pick one or two and expand on it if you would. First is, are Tesla's longitudinal waves the same as spin waves, torsion fields, and torsion waves? Two, is Brown's gas simply an expanded water molecule, like this one guy's theory is out there? And are the people that are trying to replicate Stanley Meyer's work on the right track? And three, does your work on Hunza water, could it be applied to the plant nutrients that are used in the sonic bloom process?
Absolutely, on the Hunza water, and we have applied it. I made a gel way back in the early 70s using the Hunza water process, and I made a gel, and we coated seeds with it. We treated the seeds with a torsional spin wave, which is a rotating longitudinal wave. Waves can rotate left hand or right hand, and so torsional waves, you can have magnetic torsional, electric torsional, you can have longitudinal torsional. Let's see, what else are we talking about here?
He was talking about Brown's gas.
Oh, Brown's gas. Yeah, I knew Brown really well. He was such a good guy, Yul Brown. And it's a little more complex than just an expanded water. It is water. If you take water and you break it down into hydrogen negative, but it is HOH. It's not H2 and oxygen. It's actually HOH, and it's not as simple as H2. I've done a lot of research on the Brown's gas thing, but that's for another time.
And Patrick, how old are you?
I'm 68.
68. Yeah, that's what I thought Sterling said. Okay, well, you sound much younger. Good for you. Andy in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Andy.
Yes, I'd like to say thank you, Dr. Flanagan, because you inspired me many years ago when you were on the Ray Bream Show in Los Angeles. And you really got me hooked on pyramids and doing experiments. And secondly, I think you're a real genius. It's an honor, a real honor to talk to you. And the information you're giving out can also inspire others, I'm sure. The question that I have is twofold. Number one, do you believe that in countries such as China and Bosnia, not to mention Egypt and Iraq and around the world, a commonality with all of these pyramids being placed in diverse places, what do you think whoever built them, and we both suspect it was from another source besides a human, what do you believe their primary goal was? And secondly, Dr. Fred Bell, who recently passed on, you remind me a lot of him, and he reminded me of you, because you both had this intense gift to look into science like nobody else. I'd like you to give your comment, if any, about Dr. Bell. And thank you for all you've done throughout your life, because people who have followed you appreciate you, and we love what you're doing. And thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. You're welcome. Did you know the work of Dr. Fred Bell, Patrick, or Sterling?
I knew Fred way before. I knew Fred, let's see, in 1974, I guess, 1973. He's used to come stay at my house when I lived in Tucson. Fred,
small world.
Pardon?
Small world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, you get to be my age and get around like I got around, you get to meet a lot of people. But all these pyramids were connected to each other through an energy grid of the Earth, and they were absolutely connected, and they were at one time functional. That is, they were all functioning as part of an energy grid connecting each other. And, you know, there's more, but I think that kind of summarizes it.
Okay. And Sterling, what technologies are you tracking these days?
I'm tracking all the technologies that I've ever tracked and more. The interesting thing is that my mind is clearer and sharper than it's ever been in my entire life now, and it's been getting better every single day. And it's due to organic sulfur. It's due to a number of other things that I'm taking as supplements. I strongly believe in dietary supplements.
Good for you.
And in replacing minerals that have been taken away from us through the use of petroleum-based fertilizers and other things.
Well, I'm the same way, Patrick. But let's bring Sterling in. Sterling, what about these five energy technologies? What are you tracking these days?
Okay. As I've mentioned, three of the top five are cold fusion technologies. Andre Rossi's still number one right now, who was on with me about a year ago with you.
Mm-hmm.
He recently claims to have somewhere around 20 units running for about 50 days continuous, putting out 600 degrees Celsius, which is more than enough to run a steam turbine. And that's very exciting technology, because before we were down in the region of 150, 200 degrees Celsius, which isn't, it's good for heating a home and heating water, but not for running turbines for electricity. And so it's kind of moved it into a whole new arena, and a report's expected to get out on that fairly soon. The media is still pretty much ignoring it, but we're not letting that discourage us. We understand that they're a bunch of prostitutes, basically playing the fiddle for the bidding of the powers that be. Number three in the top five is the technology I mentioned before, the noble gas engine. And they're supposed to be going into market in September. They're supposedly going into manufacturing right now. They're going to be having, in a week or so, a training session for the licensees, where at the end of the training session, they'll be going home with a functioning unit. We're talking about a device which may also be nuclear, clean nuclear, with no radiation, residual radiation involved at all, and any kind of radiation that may be going on in the process can easily be shielded and is not dangerous. And so you have basically a Stirling engine type of setup, where you have an engine turning, but you don't have ingoing gases, outgoing gases. It's basically this engine that goes and goes from the plasma process of noble gases, which are cheap and totally ubiquitous, very safe, be maybe $30 to replace a canister. And so hopefully by September, people will be able to buy one of those, 200 horsepower units.
That's exciting. Really is. All right. Stay with us. You're going to come back, and we'll take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. All right. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about the Book of Urantia. It's an incredible story. And when we come right back, we'll take final phone calls with Patrick Flanagan and Sterling Allen right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, well, they're lining up here to talk to both of you two, Sterling and Patrick. So let's go to the phones. We'll go to Kingston, New York. Henry's with us. Hi, Henry. Thanks for holding.
Hi, George. Hi, Patrick. I'd like to ask Patrick a question about his Earth resonant generator, a little pocket-sized generator that he marketed back in the 70s. A while back, Nick Begich was on your show, and I had called in not realizing that he knew Pat and had actually written a book about him, to ask him if he knew about this device, because I had run into some people out in California back in the late 70s that had one. And then I came back to my home in the East Coast, and my neighbor invites me out, and she brings a friend, and he's got one of them. And he introduced me later to another friend of ours who was into Tesla technology. And at one point, I was working on a generator to do some phase congruent resonance experiments, and it generated. I hadn't realized at the time that when I first saw the device that it had a Mobius strip loop antenna in it. And so I took this generator that I was playing around with, which generated like a first, third, and fifth harmonic, and I believe I set them to one third, like the third was a third of the amplitude, the fifth was a fifth of the amplitude. And I took a piece of twin lead and twisted it into a Mobius loop and kind of drove it with a power transistor. And I was explaining that I live out in the country and it's very quiet and peaceful, and it was summertime and I had the window open and I could hear the crickets outside, and I turned the device on and everything was fine, and I twisted the antenna the other way, gave it like either a left or a right-handed twist, and all of a sudden I started feeling very nauseous, and I hear these dogs barking and airplanes flying overhead, and I twisted back the other way, and everything kind of blisses out again, and I twisted it back again, and the same thing happened. In fact, a big, like, 8-inch, like, green mantis-type insect just slammed into my window, and the dogs are barking and the airplanes, and so I was wondering if Patrick had any thoughts on what it was that I was experiencing, depending on the twist of the Mobius loop. And I was just wondering if he was ever going to market any little devices like that again.
Hmm. Go ahead, Patrick.
Sure. Well, in the first place, what you were generating at the left-hand Mobius coil generates the left-hand rotating torsion field, which is a longitudinal field. And that's life-enhancing. That actually enhances the density of time, a la Kozyrev of the Soviet Union. But the right-hand twist is actually very dangerous, very harmful. It can not only make you sick, it can actually kill. And that's one of the things that I never published, that I, of course, back in the 70s, early 70s, when I put the Earth Resonance generator on the market, it had a left-hand twist Mobius antenna in it. And so what we, you know, found out is that the right hand one was so dangerous that that's one of the things that I have never published, never talked about, because it's so dangerous. I was afraid it would be used as a weapon.
How did you know it was so dangerous, Patrick?
Okay, well, I have a friend, Dr. Guy Abraham, out in Los Angeles, and he had me make one with the left-hand twist and one with the right-hand twist, and he had 12 employees, and he'd take the one with the left-hand twist in the office, and he'd turn it on and observe their behavior, and the left-hand twist, everyone was, you know, full of energy and feeling good, and their efficiency was great, and the next day he brought the one with the right-hand one, and he turned that on, and they were having arguments, and people got sick and threw up and had to go home early. And he did this for a while, and that's how I knew.
Okay, very good. Next up, we go to Michael in Miami Beach, Florida. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
How you doing, George? Always great to listen to you.
Great.
And, Patrick, I have a couple questions for you. They're unrelated, actually. First one has to do, you mentioned about before about supplementation, and I was curious if you'd ever done any work researching anti-aging devices of any kind, and do you have any kind of nutritional protocol, maybe on a website that you have, you know, put out there?
Well, I was actually the keynote speaker for the World International Anti-Aging Medicine Conference in Las Vegas a number of years back, and my whole research in medicine as a medical doctor has been in the realm of anti-aging, and I do have protocols. Be best to contact me by email. I have so many people that want it, and I haven't published anything on the protocols that I'm using.
Oh, okay. All right, great. And then the second thing, well, actually, together, I was just curious. I've heard different things about the our mission to the moon, and I'm just curious now. I don't even know what to believe, because some say, you know, we have the ability to travel the stars, and others say we've never even gone to the moon, that they got the Van Allen radiation belts, and we haven't even, it's all a hoax, and they were doing it out, they were playing golf on Area 51. So I'm just curious about that. What's your thoughts on that?
I know Sterling knows a lot about that. And, of course, we travel everywhere. And I'm telling you, that's total nonsense. When I say the U.S. government has UFOs and starships that can travel almost instantly anywhere. There are bases on the moon. There are bases on the backside of the moon. Sterling, you have any ideas on that?
I would concur with you on that. Really quick, I want to make sure that you give your website out, because you've not done that yet, for people to get more information, including the last question asking about getting more information on anti-aging and whatnot.
What is your website, Patrick?
Sure, my website, my main website is www.phisciences.com. That's phi, like golden ratio. That's Peter Hotel India, PHI, sciences, like science plural, .com.
Well, we'll get a link up there for you to make it easy for everybody. Let's go to Lucy in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Lucy, go ahead.
Hey. Hi, George. It's always pleasant to hear your voice. And I want to say hi to Dr. Flanagan. I've been wanting to meet you for so long. And the reason is I purchased something called Mega Hydrate. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course. Yes.
I've never... This is amazing, and I couldn't believe that somebody came up with this. I mean, it just seemed ingenious, and it's normal, regular water, but it's wetter water. And I'm hoping this will be on your website also. I wanted to call about. It's just, I'm your little commercial here about this amazing water that it was drops and then also the mega capsules. But as long as I could afford it, I just kept buying the water, and it was wet. And have you found something that surpasses this, or is it
No, there is nothing that surpasses it. Yeah.
Is this like the Hunza water you've been talking about, or is this different?
Yes, Mega Hydrate provides, it's the main source of electrons in the body, and it's negative ionized hydrogen, and the crystal energy is the Hunza water. Those are drops that turn your water into Hunza water no matter where you are.
And the benefits to the human body?
Water is the most important nutrient we put in our bodies and the most ubiquitous, so everyone doesn't think about it, but that you can drink a lot of water, and if it's the wrong kind of water, it just goes through your body and doesn't do much good. And when you add the drops, what it does is it increases the hydration efficiency of water 2.5 times over normal, any water. And so that's really important, because most of us are dehydrated and don't know it. And the older we get, the more dehydrated we can get and not know it, because our sense of thirst is decreased.
Let's go to Jim in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Oh, hello, everybody. I've got a question for Patrick. Oh, about 37, 38 years ago, I saw you on the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder, and I think you'd been in a pyramid a few weeks before and maybe had a spirit with you or something. He went into trance and that spirit fixed Tom's hand, which was kind of sore from a fall he took on the set. And I was wondering if you remembered any of that. And I had a funny experience. It was a late show and I had a few drinks before the show started. So I fell asleep and I distinctly kind of remember getting shoved just before you went into that trance, like, wake up, Jim, you watch this. And I was just wondering if you remember that show and what your thoughts are about it.
I remember it well. I channel a Persian master by the name of Master Kashif Fayyad, and I channeled him publicly for about 30 years, and the biggest audience I had was 50,000 people in Mexico City, and did healings and all kinds of things.
That is huge. How about the Tom Snyder Show? You remember that?
Oh, man. Of course, Tom Snyder. I mean, NBC switchboard was plugged up for weeks afterwards. No one could get a call through.
He was great. He passed away, by the way, about 5 years ago.
I loved him. Yep. He was a wonderful human being.
He was a great talk show host. He had some magic. All right, let's go to Scott in Edgewood, Washington. Hey, Scott, thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, George. And
hi.
Basically, I had one question. And that Philadelphia experiment, was that an experiment in forced harmonics? You know, upper harmonics in a terahertz range?
No.
Okay. That's what I've been playing with, and it's quite interesting. You can actually...
That's a very good frequency range to do research in. It's one of the unresearched ones, but in that particular case, no.
Okay. That was the only question I had, because... playing with the fields in that range, it gets pretty interesting when you produce upper harmonics.
Oh yeah,
I think some of those are possibly beyond light speed, frequency wise. I'm not sure.
They are. As a matter of fact, 1.6 times the speed of light. No.
That explains a lot. Where an object can be somewhat cloaked, you can actually poke things through it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That was all I needed to know.
Okay. How did you get interested in alternative health in medicine, Patrick?
Well, because of things that happened to me as a child. I had polio when I was 9 years old, and they told me I'd never walk again. It was from the polio vaccine. And I had to overcome a lot in my life, and so I became really interested in health, and the medical doctors, the allopathic doctors weren't doing it for me. They told me I'd never walk again ever in my whole life, and so that's how I got into it.
Okay, we go next to Winnipeg, Canada. Hey, Wilford, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I had a question there for Patrick. I was wondering, or two of them actually. One of them was, has he ever heard of a Tesla telescope, which was a transmitter receiver that's supposed to be able to communicate with aliens? He had apparently actually contacted some aliens up in Quebec, Canada, when he was still alive, obviously, and he had actually brought a visitor down to this farm in Quebec. And carry on an evening with the visitors. And that was one question. The other one was: is he aware of any work by Dr. Judy Wood? She had written that book, Where Did the Towers Go?
Yeah, we had her on the program. We sure did.
Yeah, well, that did happen up in Quebec. That did happen.
Is there any way to find some information on that telescope?
No.
Okay. All right,
great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Patrick. Now we'll go to Gerald in the Bronx in New York. He's been waiting.
Hi, how are you, George? Patrick, I wanted to ask you a question about whether there are any cures for cancer which are not being disclosed to the general public that exist now, right this moment.
Oh, of course, absolutely. Yeah, and we can't talk about them, and for obvious reasons.
When do you think these 300 ideas get to marketplace, if they ever do, Patrick?
I don't know. I don't know if they ever will. You know, it's a matter of financing, and hopefully that's all going to be changed, because the world, system's kind of crashing right now, and we're going to come in possibly into a whole new finance system where it'll be more equitable for everyone.
Okay, we go next to Art in Mojave, California. Squeeze you in here, Art. Go ahead.
Well, hello, George and Patrick.
Hi.
Fantastic pleasure talking to you guys.
Great. Go ahead.
My question for Patrick is Henry Coanda, his work that I believe you worked with him back in the day at HiUCorp. But just your thoughts about him and also specifically about the lenticular aerodyne.
Yeah, well, you know, Henri Coanda was my mentor and one of my best friends, and he was one of the most brilliant, wonderful men I ever met in my whole life. And all I can say is great praises for him. And the lenticular aerodyne, well, you know, Coanda built a UFO based on the idea. Of course, and Schellberger had his version of it, but Coanda built one that was 12 inches in diameter, lifted an 800-pound tank of nitrogen off the ground and went right up into the atmosphere till it ran out of nitrogen and then crashed back through his lab. I know we're running out of time, so that's about it.
All right, my friends, both of you, thank you so much for being on the program. Sterling, you and Patrick, you, good luck with you. And it's great having you both on the program, as obviously we've heard so much about both of you. Websites all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.